Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for meditation today is written in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, our Advent King and Savior, dear fellow redeemed, our Thanksgiving Eve service last Wednesday, in the sermon intro, I shared a fictional story called The Legend of the Angels. It was about an imaginary happening in the courts of heaven. One day the Lord told the angel Gabriel to go down to earth and collect in one bag all the prayer requests from God's people and bring them to heaven for the Lord to answer. And then he told the angel emissary Michael to go to earth and collect the thank you prayers of Christians. And when they got back up to heaven late that night after completing their mission, bringing in their respective bags, the Lord noted that bag number one, with which Gabriel had put all the requests for blessings and different needs of God's people, that was very full, jam-packed, but bag number two, which Michael brought back to heaven with prayers of thanks, was barely half full. And you'll remember, those of you who were here, the moral of that fictional story, how it was intended to bring home a real truth, namely, and I think we would all confess this, that we as God's children are sometimes more inclined to send up lots of prayers to the throne of grace for needs that we have or loved ones than we are to send up to the Lord prayers of gratitude for his blessings, some of which we at times are prone to take for granted, like food and clothes and air to breathe and water to drink and other gifts from the Lord. The purpose of the parable, story, legend was to encourage us to count up our blessings and let the Lord know how appreciative we are for his goodness in providing them to us, unworthy though we be. But another thought shared on Thanksgiving Eve in that sermon intro was that though we may be more inclined to offer more request prayers than thank yous, this is in no way intended to put a damper on or discourage us from offering request prayers. The hymn writer John Newton expressed a beautiful Bible truth when he wrote one of our hymns. Come, my soul, with every care, Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself bids you pray, and he'll never turn away. You're coming to a king. Large petitions with you bring, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. And so this morning, that's what we want to do on this first Sunday of the new church year, the first of four in the Advent season. We want to present to the Lord a big ask, a large petition, actually threefold. Lord, deepen our faith, increase our love, and improve our lives for your praise. So today's text comes from a letter that Paul wrote to Christians who lived in the city of Thessalonica. That was a very big, large, leading city of the Roman Empire at that time, boasted a population of around 200,000. If you lived back in the first century, you'd probably know a lot about Thessalonica, just as people living in our country know, whether or not you've ever been there, quite a bit about New York, Chicago. Thessalonica was a bustling commercial trade center situated on a busy trade route stretching from Rome in the west to countries in the east, located on a harbor where cargo ships would anchor to offload their goods and to take on additional cargo. And it was here, in this thriving metropolis, that Paul and his traveling companions, Silas and Timothy, arrived on Paul's second missionary journey. The author of Acts, Luke, informs us in chapter 17 of Acts that Paul went into the synagogue and on three straight Sabbaths shared the message of Jesus, showing from the Bible that he had to suffer, had to rise from the dead, and letting everybody know that this Jesus whom I'm proclaiming to you is the Christ. He is your Messiah. And then some of the Jews, Luke informs us, were persuaded. They joined Paul and Silas. Christian church was formed there, including also a large number of God-fearing Greeks and many influential women. But you know, wherever people receive the gospel and put their trust in Christ, their Savior, Messiah, crucified and risen, the evil one is active, doing all that he can to keep more people from believing and to overturn the faith of those who do believe. And so it was in Thessalonica that, again, it's all in Acts chapter 17, the devil stirred up trouble for Paul and Silas, and he caused some of the Jews to get jealous and round up some bad characters from the marketplace and form a mob and start a riot, so that the apostles had to leave town for safety reasons. And it was a few weeks later that we find Paul in the city of Athens. And he was still thinking about those Christians back in Thessalonica, wondering how they were faring and the difficulties that they were facing. And so he sent this traveling companion, Timothy, back up to Thessalonica to check out to see how they were doing, provide them with encouragement for their faith, and bring back word to Paul of how the church there was doing. Sometime later, Timothy returned, a glowing report. Paul, the Thessalonians are remaining strong in their faith, faithful to Jesus, and they're doing all they can to spread the good word. And that is when Paul undertook to write an epistle to the Thessalonians in which he expressed to them his joy and his gratitude to God for blessing them with a strong faith. As we read in our text, chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, what thanks can we render to God for you for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. So Paul expressed this hope that he would soon be able to return to Thessalonica and see his fellow Christians there in person again and offer additional encouragement in troubles they were facing so that their faith in Christ might be deepened. Friends, as we head into the new church year, let that be one of our petitions as well, an ask from the Lord that he deepen our faith in the face of enemies we're exposed to, the unbelieving world that we live in, the godless society in which the sacred truths of Scripture are cast aside as nothing, and the gospel of Jesus considered foolishness and the precepts of God's word as out of sync with the wisdom of the so-called progressive world. Let's pray Increase my faith, dear Savior, for Satan seeks, still today, by night and day, to rob me of this treasure and take my hope of bliss away. Abide with me, O Savior, a firmer faith bestow, and then I shall bid defiance to every evil foe, just as you graciously enabled the Thessalonian believers to do long ago. So how can we be sure of being so blessed in the new church year? So that if Jesus' second advent happens in the current church year we just began, that he'll find us in a state of Christian readiness with our faith lamps flaring up bright? I think you know the answer. It's through the word that we hear and through the Lord's Supper that we receive. You know that after you receive the Lord's Supper, you will often hear the pastor speak at the end of the distribution of the elements. May this true body and blood of our Savior Jesus strengthen and keep you in the true faith unto life everlasting. And that's not just a pious wish, but a promise sure. The Lord is promising to use the sacrament we receive with hearts of repentance and faith to deepen our Christian faith. Bless us with a faith that bears unmoved the world's dread frown, nor heeds its scornful smile, and that sin's wild ocean cannot drown, nor Satan's arts beguile. And another petition prayer we want to offer in the new church year, bless us, Lord, with an increase in our love. Notice how Paul offers that prayer for the Thessalonians in our text. May the Lord make your love, he said, increase and overflow for each other. Picture an empty glass standing on your kitchen counter. You're filling it up with water, and the water level reaches the top because the room is a bit dark. You fill it to the point of overflowing onto the countertop. Well, that's what Paul is praying is going to happen, or would happen, with the Thessalonians' love, that the Lord would cause their love to increase and overflow for each other. It's a petition we also want to offer, too, as we begin the new year. Bless us, Lord, with an increase of love for the members, first of all, of our own church family, with eagerness to lend help where needed, to use my talents, projects that need to be done, serving on various boards and committees, coming on over during a church work day to help out with property needs that need to be fixed or cleaned up for the mutual benefit of your gospel ministry at St. Paul and for your praise, O Lord. And a practical suggestion I might also share in this connection, friends, keep a directory handy and flip through it periodically, offering up a supplication for those whose names are written in it, especially if you're aware of a particular hardship that a fellow Christian is passing through. Or if you know about a happy event in their life, sending up a thank you prayer for the Lord's goodness to them. And remember also to pray for those that we don't see often at the Lord's house, maybe those at a distance or those that can't make it regularly for various reasons, that they may be led to come more regularly if they can, to have their faith deepened, or online as they watch our services through the Word and the fellowship that we share together in Christ. And notice how Paul wrote in this epistle, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for everyone else too. In other words, for those outside of the church at Thessalonica, those that weren't part of Jesus' church. That's a good reminder too for us as we begin a new year to ask for an increase in love for those outside our congregation, for neighbors, friends, relatives who maybe don't know the Lord, and that the Lord would use words of Savior we share or our Christian example for their spiritual benefit and lead them to himself and enable them to rejoice in his gospel blessings, just as we do. It's part of our prayer for an increase in love for others. Be good to remember what John also wrote. He's called the Apostle of Love, John. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." It's a verse of one of many that teaches us that we cannot grow in love for others by what we do, by our own impetus, but it's what the Lord does, once again, through the sweet gospel message that we hear and learn. Paul highlighted this truth in his Thessalonians letter when he wrote in verse 12, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else." Paul knew that Jesus is the one who does it. He blesses his people with increased love. And it's a prayer we can be sure he will answer for us too in the new year. Finally, let's be encouraged as we cross the threshold of a old church year into the new to pray, "Lord, improve our lives." We want to ask the Lord to set us apart, to make us and keep us as a people who are different from the world in our thinking and in our attitudes, in our words, and in our conduct, that he'd keep us as his dear holy children through faith in the one who is the Lord, our righteousness. That's what Jesus prayed for, remember, that petition, night before he died, and his high priestly prayer. "Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." He was saying, and that's what that word sanctify means, "Father, set my disciples apart from the world and dedicate them for your service, for your glory, and keep them by faith in me, their Savior, unspotted from the world and holy in their conduct, blameless till the day of my second coming." Notice how Paul prayed for that too in his letter in verse 13, last verse of our text. "May the Lord," he said, "establish your hearts so that you will be blameless in holiness in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his saints." Paul was not asking Jesus to help the Thessalonians like work hard at leading an extra holy life by themselves that they might be received into heaven because of their own goodness, but once again that the Lord would graciously bless them with growth in their lives of sanctification and increased ability to let their light shine for his praise until that last great day when he returns to take them and all the faithful into that place where we will be confirmed in holiness and be just like Jesus permanently and forever for the praise of his name. So let that be our prayer then, our prayer request to our gracious God in the new church year. Let's offer the beautiful petition. "Lord, your rest to me impart, take possession of my heart. There your blood-bought right maintain, and without a rival reign. While I am a pilgrim here, let your love my spirit cheer, as my guide, my guard, my friend. Lead me to my journey's end." A petition he will gladly answer for his mercy's sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.